Well, welcome to Grace Church again, everybody. Hopefully you've dropped your children off by now or got your extra sneaky cup of coffee before the talk starts. If you've not met me before, my name is Jo. I've been at Grace Church for a few years now. I used to work with students. I used to love talking with students a little bit about what we're talking this morning, in fact. But now I'm enjoying being a lady of pleasure, or not, looking after my little baby. If you're a guest here this morning, you are really, really welcome. If you're feeling super excited about the Wimbledon final, I know it's slightly more disappointing now, I promise not to keep you too long. You will get home in time to watch the final. Although I guess if anyone's falling asleep and I start to get offended, I might just string it out in order to wind you up a little bit. No, I promise I won't. This morning we're thinking about building community. And if you're anything like me and your attention span is sometimes lacking, you'll be pleased to know that I'm going to speak for a short amount of time, and then we're going to hear from some Grace Church members about what the reality of this looks like in their lives. So it's a little bit more changed up for those of you who like a bit of a mix-up and not sitting listening for a long, long time. But I've got a bit of a confession, and it's something about me you might have picked up on by now, you may not have had conversations with me. But I've got a very romantic outlook on life. I have these ideas of how things should pan out. And as a child, I was the sort of person who would sit on the back step of a kind of late summer's evening, reading a book, listening to the birds sing, because it felt like that kind of picture-perfect ideal of something that would happen. It feels like a scene out of Anne of Green Gables or something. And I'd just be laughing up the atmosphere of it. Or maybe I'll be walking down a particularly picturesque country lane. We live just by the golf course in Truro, and so I can walk into town down the new Pusine Greenway. And I'll be walking along, the sun will be twinkling through the trees, the birds are singing. You hear that little kind of wind rushing, but it's a warm breeze washing over you, not a cold one. And I can hear this kind of Jane Austen-esque commentary going on in my head. In fact, I slipped into it a little bit, just describing it to you then. This gets even worse if I have been reading a Jane Austen novel. Then basically any part of my life is, I can hear the kind of commentary that you would get in a Jane Austen novel kind of playing in my head as I go about my daily life. But consequently, because of this tendency, life can throw up some minor disappointments for me when life, it doesn't quite match up to this idea. I went to university hot off the back of spending many a teenage hour watching Dawson's Creek and similar kind of teenage angst-filled programmes. And they taught me that university halls were the best things ever, where you make your best friends for life. And whilst I did make really good friends at university, we're still friends now, but it wasn't in halls, they were on my course. And I loved uni, but actually I liked school more. I really loved school. Try as I might, but the halls I lived in just weren't playing ball with my kind of romantic idea of what uni roommates would be like. One of the times for me that kind of did seem to click into place, in fact, was the first time that I visited the church that I ended up going to when I was at university. And I'd not been going to church for a few years before I went to uni, but I really wanted to start going again when I went to uni. But the first few weeks of term had happened, I'd not been along yet. But my auntie was really good friends with the vicar and his wife at one of the local churches. So I knew I'd have to go along sooner or later. It was quite useful for me, because I knew that she would keep asking me if I'd been along. So about 5 or 6 weeks into term, I dutifully trotted off to Christ Church. And I can't really remember anything about the service. I can't remember what the talk was about, what was said, but I do remember the welcome. Much as a good welcome is important, equally, I don't know about you, as a guest here this morning, you might sense sometimes when you're new in a place, people kind of hovering, wanting to speak to the new person. And sometimes in my kind of rebellious defiance, I don't like that. And I'm sat there thinking, don't don't come and talk to me. And Helen, the vicar's wife, spoke to me, and she put her finger on that. She said, just like, everyone wants to talk to the new person, don't they? She's like, come on, let's go and get a cup of coffee. And I did feel really welcomed in a good way. And I can remember walking back up the hill to the university halls on the quietness of a Sunday morning in a university city before students are up yet, with just this permanent smile plastered on my face. It just felt right. I'd felt like I fitted, I felt at home. And in fact, I went on to keep going to that church, and in fact, I stayed there working for another 3 years. And embarrassingly, if you speak to me, you probably know some of that, because I love it. It felt like a family. I wonder if any of you are like me and have had those disappointing experiences where reality just hasn't always matched the ideals or the dreams that you hold. Or alternatively, you might have experienced too those great times where things have just clicked, where you've just felt at home, that sense of contentment. It's amazing how when we're with certain people, we feel at home. It doesn't matter where we are, but we feel at home. The saying goes, doesn't it? Blood is thicker than water. But sometimes that doesn't ring true at all, does it? Sometimes those that we felt the greatest closeness to aren't related in any way. And in fact, they're not just not related to you, but maybe they're not the people that you could have ever imagined yourself being friends with, getting on with, clicking with. Maybe you're sat right next to some of those people right now. Those experiences like I had, where you feel that sense of contentment, the feeling of all being well, are wonderful, but sometimes they can be a bit elusive, can't they? We can feel like we're searching and searching for that sense of belonging, but never quite finding it. Longing desperately to be in, but more often than not, feeling like we're stuck on the outside, alone. In the increasingly old, but increasingly classic film about a boy, Will launches into an evocative speech about the state of, and indeed his joy and the preciousness to him of his bachelorhood. He says, "Who wrote the phrase, 'No man is an island'? John Donne, John Milton, John F. Kennedy, John Bon Jovi? John Bon Jovi, too easy. And if I may say so, artistic license, a complete load of rubbish. In my opinion, all men are islands. And what's more, now's the time to be one. This is an island age. 100 years ago, you had to depend on other people. No one had TV or CDs or DVDs or videos or home espresso makers. Actually, they didn't have anything cool. Whereas now, you see, you can make yourself a little island paradise." And this is a prevailing thought, isn't it, in our society. More and more, the refrain that you hear is that you need to look out for number one. Look out for yourself. Indeed, to live as if you were an island, unattached from anyone else. But in much of the rest of the world, and you may have experienced this yourself, that's just not the case. The answer to the question, who are you, is not an island, but I guess it's more of a continent. It's a question that's answered only in relation to the relationships that you share with others. So who am I? I guess I'm Matt's wife, I'm Elodie's mum, I'm my cat Puzzle's slave, I'm a member of Grace Church, and I'm a child of God. Who I am is explained in terms of the relationships that I share. That makes me unique. Nobody else has quite the same pattern and collection of relationships that I do. And the same for you. No one has the same matrix of relationships that you do. And I love being with those people who are important to me, the people who are special to me. Sean and Hannah and lots of the other students I've worked with laugh at me because when I'm really happy, when I'm surrounded by that surrogate family, when my heart is full, usually there's lots of food around too on these occasions, kind of involuntarily make happy happy noises of joy. And it's usually accompanied by a kind of little wiggle, like sat on a chair. And we sort of, I guess they're a little bit guinea pig-esque, in fact. Guinea pig-esque squeaks of joy and happiness just kind of emit from me. I just can't help it. There's a joy that bubbles up in me. And when I worry, down to the laughter and the mocking of the students, that this is slightly strange behaviour, I'm encouraged by the fact that it is, in fact, normal. Well, the joy and feeling of contentment when finding oneself in a loving community is normal. I guess my way of expressing that joy could be more unique to me. But it's not simply normal, but it's how we've been created to function. God himself has always been in relationship. He's the ultimate community. Since before the creation of the world, God has been living in community, in a loving relationship with Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see a glimpse of this. As God the Father creates the world, he does it with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He says, "Let us make man in our own image," as he plans the pinnacle of creation, you and me. Three persons united together in love, but it was too good, too much, not to share it. From the overflow of their relationship, their life together, the Father created a world through his Son and by his Spirit. We've been birthed out of this loving relationship, this wonderful community, and we're destined to share in it. Just as I said earlier, that you and I receive our identity in terms of our relationships to one another, and ultimately to God, so God the Father is the Father because he has a Son. And we were created in the image of this God. And this is something that people can puzzle over the meaning of. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? But one thing we can certainly note is that we were created in the image of a God in community. We were created in the image of an us, of an our, the image of a God intertwined in his relationship with the community of the Trinity. Three persons united together in love. And we best reflect God's image in us when we're in community. Of all of the good and very good things we hear of when God creates the world, the only thing that isn't good is when man is alone. We were created to be in relationship, in community with one another. And that's not just confined to romantic relationships, but the whole community of Christians. As we read the story found on the pages of the Bible of a passionate God, passionate for his people, a running theme emerges. God is interested not in lots of individual Christians dotted around, sat alone in their rooms, but in a people together. The church wasn't a solution to the problem that, oh, we've got all these Christians now running around, so what do we do with them? The church wasn't a kind of self-help group that God came up with as an afterthought to help Christians kind of deal with this new thing and to share their Christianness with one another. But the church, this community of people, has always been God's desire. And it's in the context of this community, this Trinity, this loving relationship, that Jesus' willingness, his desire to come into our messy world, to be born into it, and to ultimately die in order to offer the promise of ridding our world of its mess, takes on such a greater significance. In the moment when Jesus was hanging on the cross, bleeding and in pain, he was cut off, separated from his Father. The Father with whom he'd been in the most perfect, loving relationship with since before creation. In that moment, as his Son hung on a cross, given his life for the world he came to love and save, in that moment, the gulf separating Father and Son was so wide. Jesus momentarily stepped out of that community, out of that relationship, in order that we might step into it. Jesus died not for individuals, but for a people. When we become Christians, when we come to know God, we become a part of that people. We become part of a people united in the same way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united to one another. So what does this community look like? There's a book in the Bible called Acts, but that's kind of like the short nickname version, because really it tells us the acts of Jesus' followers after he died. And it describes to us a little bit of what this new community of people looked like. It's going to come up behind me, but I'm going to read it as well. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them, and each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. A couple of things we can just notice from that. Firstly, this group of people met together often. These weren't simply relationships confined to a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. These people really knew one another. They were really invested in one another's lives. Secondly, they shared everything they had. And this might seem like nice and sort of normal. It's good to share. I'm sure those of you with children, it's a refrain that you repeat often. But this wasn't normal sharing. This was extreme sharing. They would sell what they had in order to give to others who had needs. They didn't just share if they had extra, but sacrifice their possessions in order to give to and to bless one another, that none amongst them had any needs. And then one of my favourite things, this was a community characterised by the fact that they ate food together, freely and in one another's homes. Eating with people is special. It's the quickest and most surefire way of getting me to make my happy noises. Food is a way of offering and displaying grace to people. Jesus ate with sinners, the down and outs. That's why the religious leaders of Jesus' time hated him so much, because they knew that when he ate with the people, that they classified as sinners and nobodies. By eating with them, he's saying, we're the same. We're the same kind of people, which is total opposite to what the religious leaders of that time would have thought. Last summer, I had one of these meals, and I think it's possibly a year to the day. I think it might have been the Wimbledon final, which doesn't mean it's a week out because they shifted the dates, but it's near enough. And she probably doesn't know this, but the meal was in honour of a lovely lady called Jan, who was coming to visit. And so we thought, really nice. Jan said, let's have lunch. It'd be nice for there to be something nice for her to do. So I text a load of friends saying, do you want to come over for lunch and have food? And I'm sure they went to watch Wimbledon, but who knows? It wasn't Andy Murray, so Wimbledon didn't happen. lots of people then couldn't come, so I invited some other people. Then the night before, everyone who hadn't previously been able to come text me to say they could come after all. Never mind, let's just go with it. Everybody bought some food. We had lasagna. It's about a good 90 minutes, 2 hours later, eating the lasagna than we might have planned. But it was great. I have it on good authority, it was the best lasagna that some people have ever had. And it was just one of those days that it could be really chaotic and awful, but in some ways, just that kind of slapdash spontaneity and informality of it made it all the more special. And it was great, it was wonderful. And it's those moments. And what did this kind of community, this community who spent time learning about speaking to their God, being with one another, it led them to praise God. And in doing so, more and more people wanted to be part of this community. In seeing the community they shared, the relationships that they shared with one another, they wanted a taste of it. They wanted to know this God that brought this community. community like that that God has always been enjoying. And it's a community like that that God invites us into, that he created us to be part of. As an aside, for those of you thinking, this is just too good to be true. The thing is, I just don't really like people all that much. So it's not that attractive an option for me. I do have to admit, and it may come as no surprise to those who know me, that I would indeed consider myself an extrovert. In the main, I do recharge and get my energy from being with people. Though it's not to say I don't sometimes value my own company. It's definitely something that's become more precious since Elodie arrived. And those of you who would consider yourselves introverts might be thinking, well, actually, I quite enjoy island life. It's a lot easier sometimes. To be created to be part of God's community doesn't mean that you must always enjoy being with lots of people all of the time. And it doesn't mean that it's not sometimes hard. Those that Jesus ate with were a random bunch, an assortment of down and outs, the unlovable, the downright sinners. But that's both good and bad news, if you think about it. It's good news because it means that you're welcome, and so am I. There's no one off limits to this community. But it also issues a challenge. It means that sometimes we might meet people we find difficult. But there's a recognition, just like with our biological families, that for better and worse, through thick and thin, that we'll persevere, that we'll love one another, without conditions. A gentleman called Stuart Townley writes a lot of songs, really great words. Sometimes I find that songs, people who've been gifted with that ability, songs put words to things that you are feeling much better than your own words. And I'd like to finish, before we interview and call a couple of people up, with reading you the lyrics to a song that he wrote called Vagabonds. That basically, well, I could have just played the song and not spoken to you. That's what it communicates. You need to imagine a kind of slightly Celtic-y, Irish-y sound going on to this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you travellers, tired from the journey, come wait a while, stay a while, welcome you please. Come all you questioners, looking for answers, and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen, and come all you broken, find strength for your body and food for your soul. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place, with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in, with the wonder of love and the power of grace. Come those who worry about houses and money, and all those who don't have a care in the world. From every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come all believers and dreamers and schemers, come all you restless, searching for home. Movers and shakers and givers and takers, the happy, the sad, the lost and alone. Come self-sufficient with wearied ambition, and come those who feel at the end of the road. Fiery debaters and religion haters, accusers, abusers, the hurt and ignored. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come let us meet in this place, with the King of all kindness who welcomes us in, with the wonder of love and the power of grace. That's a community that we're invited to be part of. That's a community that sounds incredible and is, but clearly can throw out the same challenges as joy it does to be part of. To hear what this looks like in reality, I'd love Emma and Sean and Georgie to come and just chat with me for a few moments about their experience. Super. First of all, Georgie, I'm going to come to you. They have been given some warning about questions. First of all, and I'll jump in when I'm ready for you to finish, what difference has being part of a community like this or church been for you? What difference has it made? When I first came to Grace, I had actually only just become a Christian, and with that, although it was amazing, it obviously brings so many challenges as well. And the one amazing part of Grace was actually, it wasn't just joining someone on a Sunday, it was joining something that was all week, and it was joining a family, it was joining a support system. It was a safe place where I could come and cry, which happened a lot. but there was no judgment then. There was just love. The only thing that I received was pure love and just unconditional being there for you. And it was just such a valuable thing to learn and just to really see and just to be welcomed so much. Not welcomed with a handshake, but as though everybody just came up to me and gave me one big emotional hug. I was like, I am so here for you. I don't even know you, but know that I am here for you. Super, thank you. Emma, a similar question to you. What difference does being part of a community, a church like this, make for you?
I think, as Josie touched on, it's very much about us walking, doing life together. So we share the good stuff. It's been a real joy to have the conversation on more than one occasion. Ems, there's a boy, right the way through to that relationship resulting in marriage and us supporting them beyond that. We get to see people grow, which is fantastic. God's answered so many prayers in terms of providing jobs and houses and opportunities where people have needed that. We also take care of each other in the tough times. So we're there for the financial difficulties, the relationship struggles, the bereavements and the disappointments. Our aim is to continually point each other back to Jesus. And as a family, we get to worship God together. Our children are taught well, they're encouraged to be involved, and they have great role models that spur them on.
Super, thank you. So all of this is the kind of the good and the easier bits of being part of this community. But like I touched on, it's not always easy. I guess life's not always easy. So neither is this going to be. But we're committed to one another. So Sean, I guess for you, how does it work? How would you like it to work? What's your desire when it's just a bit more difficult, when it's not quite the fairy tale good points that we've talked about?
Yeah, as Joe said, it can be really difficult sometimes, we can have the sort of romanticised picture of everything always being beautiful and perfect and loving each other well, but we're all sinful and we're all broken, so community can be really hard sometimes. I think it can be, it can be hard from both sides in that you find other people difficult, but I find as well that it reveals to me my sin a lot. It makes me feel a lot more vulnerable sometimes. That's something that God's actually been challenging me a lot on recently, is that how self-centered my motives can be when God has called us to community and called us to love each other well. He's equipped us all with gifts for that purpose, not to build yourself up, but to love each other and to glorify him in that. And so I can have this view that that should have worked perfectly, but in reality, it doesn't work like that. And it can be tempting then to default more to being an island. And because that seems easier, and then you're only in control of your own life, you don't have to deal with other people's mess, and you're not confronted as much by your mess. But then you don't get then you don't get the community that we're built for. Like Joe said, we're built from we're built in the image of God, and he is a community in the Trinity. Jesus came out of that community to welcome us in. So when we're running away from that, we're not getting that. And as well, I find it hard in that it just can be really challenging. Because when people are loving you and want you to grow in your faith, then they will ask you difficult things and they will encourage you to do things that you don't want to do, but you know will be good for you. And it can be really challenging as well when you do see people loving each other well. You think, like back to self-centeredness, I think a lot of the time I'm really challenged by seeing when people's genuine motives are to love each other and to glorify God before themselves.
Thank you. We have a great opportunity over the summer, and in fact all the time, to really invest well in doing this kind of community together, to being this kind of community. And Andrew's going to come and speak to us about how we can, a bit more practically, I guess, get involved and cultivate the kind of community that we dream of here at Grace Church.
Shall we thank the three interviewees? Well, now's the time for you to reach for that envelope that you will have found on a chair or a chair near you. If you're sat at the back, there are plenty of envelopes scattered around the auditorium here. Do come and grab one. Or perhaps if you're aware that there's someone in the room who doesn't have access to one, but you've got two, would you please get one in their hand? Now, we've noticed over previous years that the summer is a weird, weird time where all things church community are concerned, because so many people are away and away at different times. We can miss one another. The students are long gone, aren't they? We don't see them again until late October, I think. And things just feel a bit more disjointed, a bit fragmented. But the summer is an incredible time because, in general, the sun's shining. We can get out and do more together. We can have picnics, we can go to the beach together, we can enjoy one another's company in all kinds of different contexts. So the summer is both a frustrating time where building community is concerned, but also a time rich with opportunity. Last year, a number of us in the church did something called the Community Challenge. And this year, we'd like to roll this out and make this a whole church thing. The Community Challenge is something that runs through the summer period, starting next Sunday, all the way through to the final Sunday in August. And it's centered around these three elements, which you'll find there on the first page of the document that's now in front of you. The Eat, Bless, Greet Challenge is our Community Challenge. The Eat aspect is committing ourselves to sharing at least one meal a week with at least one other person from the church. And a meal could be having someone around for dinner, or it could be grabbing a sandwich in a cafe. It could be inviting, if you've got children, it could be inviting someone to join in with the chaos that is family meal time with your small children, or it could be going out for dinner doing something more formal. But eating together, Joe's talked about the importance of eating together. Fellowship around the table, well, when we eat together, it's the great equaliser of relationships, isn't it? Fellowship around the table just helps the process of getting beneath one another's skin and really getting to know the real person. And then there's bless. Bless is one of those words that only Christians ever use, but we couldn't think of a better alternative. In essence, what we want to encourage is people putting together some kind of package that is going to encourage or strengthen another member of the church community and sending it to them. A package could be food, it could be cards, it could be drawings done by the children, it could be a gift, it could be any one of a number of things. We want people to feel blessed, it's that Christian word, encouraged, built up, strengthened, comforted by someone else in the church reaching out to them and saying, I've noticed you, and I want God's best for you, so here's a token of my appreciation of you. And then finally, greet each Sunday when we gather together here, We want to challenge every one of us to speak to someone who we've not spoken to before. And it may be someone who's brand new to the church. It may be someone who isn't new to the church, but you've never quite got around to speaking to that person. Now, a number of you aren't members of Grace Church, but you're visiting from other churches. You can take this back with you. We urge you to do the community challenge all the same. And it may be that you're thinking, well, I'm not sure this is particularly relevant to me, which is absolutely fine. That's fine. But if you're here and you're committed in heart to the Grace Church community, could I urge you to play your part in investing in building community over the summer and responding to the challenge? Next week, we're going to have some resources that we're going to make available to help with that process. At various points over the summer, we're going to be putting things out in the church Facebook group and in the church email, which will help to add to the momentum of the community challenge. There are going to be quotations to reflect on. There are going to be questions that we can be asking of ourselves and one another. So this isn't just something we're getting on with behind closed doors, but we want to really get involved in this as a whole family, which is only going to work, of course, if we with one voice say, yeah, we're going to go for it. Let's invest in community over the summer period. So there it is. If you've got any questions about it, please do speak to me or another member of the leadership team at the end. Could I ask you to take that away with you? And this week really is a week of planning. So give some consideration to what you can be doing and when. If you've got children, then give consideration. How can you involve the children in the community challenge? And I remember last year that Laura and I involved our small boys, Luke and Joel, in the challenge. We had them making cards and drawing pictures that we then sent to people in the church to bless them. Now, Andy and Emma down here involved Abby and Tom, contributed some scribbles to cards and letters that you sent to members of the church. So this is a great thing for us to be involved in, but it requires planning and it requires foresight. So this week, get your head around it. We're all going to be away at various points in the day, many of us will be, so you may not be able to commit to doing this every single week, or just consider, how could I invest myself in the community challenge around the plans that I've already put in place. But can I ask us to stand and let's pray, and let's just take this as a moment to respond to what God's been saying to us this morning, about the fact that he's called us to reflect his image, his likeness, and be involved in one another's lives as we build community together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've called us to play our part in community. And Lord, we thank you, those of us who are part of the Grace Church family, we thank you for this family. And like Sean, there are many moments when we are tempted to retreat and become an island, because investing in community is soft and hard. Lord, we thank you that you know so much better than we do what is good for us. And you've placed us in community for a reason. You've placed us in community because it's as we share our lives with one another and we help one another to grow that we discover your best for our lives. And we pray for ourselves, and we pray for this community group, for this challenge, this summer community challenge that we're going to be taking part in as a church. Lord, would you help each and every one of us take steps forward in building community over the coming weeks and months. Lord, we want to offer our lives into your hands and ask, please would you use us to build a church in this locality that is just extraordinary, that speaks volumes about the kind of God that you are, a God of love and a God of grace and a God of welcome. Lord, we want the Grace Church community to reflect all of that in the way that we are with one another. So Lord, we offer you our lives. Lord, help us, whoever we are, whether we're part of Grace Church, whether we're visiting from elsewhere. Lord, help every one of us respond to what you have challenged us with this morning, for the glory of your name. Amen.